From right to buy to buy to let, penthouse suites to student hovels. Get the keys to property success with the housemaster, Martin Roberts. He's the radio presenter with all his own original features. Home Rule with Martin Roberts. Listening required on Talk Radio.
Good afternoon to you. And thank you for choosing to spend your lunchtime with me here on Talk Radio. I am Martin Roberts. And I wonder if you remember this.
Please don't bother trying to find her. She's not there. Well, let me tell you about the way she looked, the way she had turned the colour of her hair.
Well, of course you do. For the 1960s, one of the biggest hits of that era. She's not there. From the Zombies, of course, I'm sure you remember it. Well, I am delighted to say that I'm going to be talking to Colin Blunstone from the Zombies shortly. And if there's anything in particular you'd like to ask Colin, maybe his memories from the 60s or what he's up to at the moment, just email me, martin.roberts@talkradio.co.uk, and the team will pass on your question to me, and I will in turn ask Colin. Anyway, before we go chatting to Colin, it's time for this.
The A to Z of property with Martin Roberts on Talk Radio in association with Northwood's Guaranteed Rent. Get a guaranteed monthly income for your rental property, even if it's empty. Welcome to the brighter side of property. Go to northwooduk.com for more information.
The A to Z of property with Martin Roberts.
ABC.
This week.
Well, this week, you see, they were wondering what we were going to do. There's been all this Twitter and Facebook questioning of, like, they've reached Zed. They really have backed themselves into a corner on this one, haven't they? There's people at Talk Radio. That Martin Roberts didn't think this through. Maybe he didn't think the show would last more than 23 weeks. What's he going to do? What's he going to do? Is he going to do like they do on number plates? Go double A, perhaps, and then double B and double C. But no! We pondered the concepts. We threw them out to a panel of judges. And eventually we decided, we'll just start a day again. So today the letter is A for attic. Marvellous. Last time, if you remember, we did A, which is apply for mortgages, and the lovely Elaine Fielding talked us through the steps on how to get on the property ladder. But this time, A, we decided, should stand for attic. That dusty thing up there we forget that could be turned into a magnificent living space. So how do you convert your attic? What are the steps you should take? Is it worth doing? And what kind of regulations should you be aware of? Well, to answer some of these questions, I'm relying on a very big expert in the field with nearly 20 years experience in loft conversion. He's the founder and managing director of Premier Lofts in London. Welcome to the show, Malcolm Newman.
Hi, Martin. How are you?
Very good. You are Mr. Loft, then.
Yeah, slight correction, though. It's 38 years experience, not 20.
38 years? Well, but you started when you started
to correct you straight away.
You started when you were four. Blimey. So you've got 38 experience in the building trade or 38 experience in lofts?
No, lots.
You've got 38 experience. I'm sorry, I'm repeating you split stuff here. But you've got 38 experience. Are you a bat?
Well, maybe.
Previous life. If you were a bat and you thought, what will I do now? I don't know. I'll get into lost. So what do you do at Premier then? Are you like a bespoke service where you say, we'll sort it all out for you?
Pretty much, yes. Yeah. Yeah, we do the whole service, sort of design and build through to builder's finish, which is sort of there with their plaster finish, but then I've sort of got ancillary trades that I can bring in, sort of decoration, tiling, and that sort of stuff. So it's pretty much the whole package.
It's a one-stop shop. So take a step back then. How do I know if having a loft conversion or doing something with my loft is possible? Presumably the easiest thing to do is put a loft ladder up there, board it out, put some lighting up there, and use it as extra storage space or something like that.
Well, I mean, that's obviously the original traditional things that people did with the loft, but obviously it is limited to just being storage, you know, for that purpose. Obviously, if you're looking to make it habitable and comply with all the building regs and planning permission as and when required, then there's a lot more involved to that. But, a lot of structural stuff and making sure you're just ticking all the boxes to all the regulations that are required.
So before I get too excited, how do I know if it's even possible for me to have a loft extension? Is it all houses? Presumably, I mean, if you're in a flat, it's not going to work, is it, unless you're in the top floor? But other than that, yeah. If I've got a house, can I automatically have a loft extension?
Well, I wouldn't say automatically. I mean, hopefully in the majority you can. There are sort of headroom requirements in terms of what you're going to be able to achieve. We have to put new floor structures in, so that takes away a bit of the height. But typically, as a starting off point, if you figure that you've got 2.3 metres minimum to the highest point in the roof, which is the ridge height, as long as you've got 2.3 metres, then usually that's a good starting off point. Anything more than that, then that's great, that all helps. But once you're under that, there could be issues. That's not to say that you still can't do a lot, but you know, there are other problems and things that you might need to have to negotiate.
So there's lots of different roof constructions, of course. You know, some which have purlins and other ones which have various bits and pieces, and some which have diagonal bits of wood going across to support the roof. If I go up into my loft space and discover something which looks like, an over-the-top game of Jenga, is that a sort of put the brake on as the whole thing, or can you deal with any roof structure?
Again, almost any roof structure. That's sort of, you know, the sort of things that you've described typically are not a problem. We have to restructure on every loft conversion that we do. So you're always talking about a certain amount of steel work going up there. You're going to be talking about reshaping the roof and steel work at both new high level in the roof and also floor level. So 9 times out of 10, it's surmountable and you'll end up with something very good. But it does depend on the sort of circumstances that you're dealing with.
Presumably, a massive word of warning here: do not go up into your loft armed with a saw and start chopping away at the structures. Otherwise, you could end up with a very, very, very expensive repair bill.
I think that's a good point.
Yeah. Okay. So, what are the options for loft spaces? Then give me the sort of some of the ideas that you come up with. What are the classics that are dormers and things like that? Just talk me through the latest stuff that's available.
Yeah. Well, I suppose probably if you talk about sort of standard three bed semis and terraces as just sort of bread and butter jobs, typically at least a good sized double bedroom and shower and is normally people's requirement. If the space lends itself and is big enough, possibly 2 rooms and a shower or a bathroom. Some properties we do, particularly in sort of older Victorian properties, say terraced houses, where you've got the back additions, people might even be able to sort of entertain the possibility of some sort of roof terrace out there at the back as well. That's sometimes an option. Obviously, there are planning requirements and perhaps limitations on that, but certain boroughs are sort of entertaining that type of thing now, so you can't sort of say it's across the board, but it does very much vary from area to area and planning department. But so normally, you know, good-sized double bedroom and shower and possibly two is sort of your bread and butter.
Wow. So that's what most people do, is it? They put a bedroom up there rather than a kid's playroom or a study?
It depends. I mean, obviously, what you want to call it will vary from household to household. I think what you're getting these days is a lot more people spend a lot more time working from home, even if it's just 1 or 2 days a week. So there's always that possibility that people are looking for sort of a spare study office for that type of thing, or as you say, a kid's playroom. But even if it is called a kid's playroom, it's always got the flexibility to be used as a bedroom for sort of visitors and guests as and when required. So, you know, what you call it will depend on the individual, but the space is there, and it's normally a good space.
Now, obviously, when I'm doing Homes Under the Hammer, I see some real bodge jobs and rooms that have had stuff, you know, attics that have been converted, but clearly not with any building regulations. Let's just look at that. What are the building regulations regarding loft space?
Well, essentially, you always need building regs when you're doing a proper loft conversion. And really, the building regs deal with the nuts and bolts of the job. So anything sort of physical, structural, you need to show that you're complying. Structural calculations and plans have to be drawn up showing that you're complying with all the regulations. But it really sort of covers the whole spectrum from sort of stair regulations to fire regulations, insulation requirements, glazing, plumbing, electrics, anything physical that affects the whole viability and sustainability of the loft has to be shown to being, you know, complied with.
And that could include things like soundproofing to the floor below, certainly fireproofing for the floor below.
Exactly. All that stuff does need, it is part of the equation and it's built in with the stuff that we have to do.
Right. So the building regulations isn't planning permission. When do you know if you're going to need planning permission or not?
Well, there's a few criteria. Typically, if you're in a conservation area, you'll need planning permission. If you're a multiple occupancy building, i.e. a flat, you will need planning permission. If you're going to be raising the height of the roof, you will need planning permission. If you exceed on a terrace property 40 cubic metres in volume at roof level, or on a semi or detached 50 cubic metres at roof level, then you will need planning. If you stay below those benchmarks, then you won't. If you're going to propose doing any sort of dormer effect fronting a highway, so i.e. the front of the property, that would need planning permission as well. So those are the sort of basic criteria that determine whether or not you need planning. I mean, the good thing is, since the update of the regulations in 2008, less and less loft conversions do need planning. And that's advantageous to the homeowner, because it means it's leaving homeowners with more scope to do what they want, how they want, and how they want to spend their money, without planning departments interfering and telling them how to spend their money.
Presumably light is going to be a very important thing, and I would always encourage natural light. So your options there, I suppose, and it's a proprietary brand, but Velux, the kind of Velux right opening windows are one option, and they've got some very clever stuff, haven't they, that turns into balconies and all kinds of thing.
Yes, yeah, no, they're excellent, and they would always typically go in a sort of sloping elevation, so typically on the front of properties where you're not really, or usually you're not going to get planning permission to put dormers in, although in some, you know, limited areas you might. But Veluxes are very popular going on the front of the properties where you've got the front sloping roof. Elsewhere, you are talking about either, you know, casement windows, sash windows going in the dormers or gable ends, French doors, bifold doors. You know, those are becoming very popular now. People want to sort of have that floor to ceiling.
Wow.
Well, what I would typically say to most clients now is that I find light is really not an issue. You know, one of the things you're going to get with pretty much any loft conversion you do is lots of light.
Okay. I've got this, you stopped me in my tracks, with bifold doors in an attic.
Yeah, people do that. We do a lot of that now, French doors, bifold doors, and then clients have the option of either putting in a metal balustrade as part of the guarding, or glass balustrade to comply with building regs, because obviously at that height you've got to have safety, so you've got to have certain minimum heights.
Wow!
So you'd have something that's 1.1 metres high that would give you the correct guarding, and the doors would obviously open inwards. But people do that. Some people, it's 50-50. Some clients say, it's a bit of a waste, you can't step out anywhere, which is true. It's just more of an effect. So some people like it, some don't. There's no right or wrong. It's just a question of design and aesthetics and getting a feel for whatever you want to get a feel for.
And I always think that the views across rooftops, even if you don't live in an area somewhere where there's a traditionally, classically amazing view, the views across rooftops are amazing. So if you had a whole wall, basically as a picture window through these bifold doors, you might not even ever open them, but just in the summer you could, so you almost like got a soft-top house.
Yeah, and also what a lot of people don't realise, but what I see a lot of is, you know, you get up there and actually just going up that extra floor does change the whole perspective of the property that you're in, you know, from first floor level, say. So, yeah, if you've got your traditional ground and first floor property, you've got your views from that first floor. You do go up the extra floor. It's amazing what a difference it does make to the roofscape and the view.
Completely.
Hardly so.
So, let's get down to some basics then. I know this is a really hard question for you to answer and almost impossible, but to give people an idea, how much is it going to cost to convert my loft? And how much do you think it adds to the value of a property? And it will vary depending on the house, it'll vary depending on the location, I know all that, but yeah, some kind of ballpark figures.
Well, I work just sort of most of London, sort of half of London, so I think prices, you know, probably a bit more expensive in London than elsewhere. Being honest with you, I'm not the cheapest, so you can always get cheaper quotes, but in terms of offering what I think's a good service and a good quality job, for a three-bed semi, to create a bedroom and a shower room, I think you've got to be looking somewhere between 40,000 to 50,000 plus VAT. For a three-bed terrace, to get the same sort of job, maybe slightly less, you know, probably 35 to 45 plus VAT. But those are just sort of general ballparks, really. Prices can vary depending on what a client's spec is, and we've just sort of touched upon it earlier. You know, if you're going to have things like bifold doors and glass balustrades, obviously those will have significant impacts on the costing.
But certainly, if you could add another bedroom to especially in London, for 40 to 50k, which is effectively what you're doing in a shower room, and forget about the you know, the wow factor, but just to add another bedroom, I would have hazarded a guess that you would recoup that 40 to 50k no problem on any sale.
Listen, I think you're right. I mean, obviously, I could be accused of bias, but I think it's more of a no-brainer. You know, and the advice I always give to clients is, if you're going to do the job, always look to maximise the space.
Yes.
Because that will give you your best value for money, both in terms of resale, as and when and if you ever come to resale, but also in the intervening years that you're going to be using the space, it will give you best use of that space. So you're going to derive the benefit in that way, which is hard to put a figure on, but it would be a positive. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, well, I'm a big fan of loft space too. When I was at university, tried to take the attic room. There's a feeling up there, I don't know. It's that being up high and the views and all that kind of stuff. I'm a huge fan. Mm. So listen, if people want to get hold of you, Malcolm, what's the company again, and what's the website?
It's the Premier Loft Company Limited. It's www.thepremierloftcompany.co.uk.
Brilliant. Thank you, Malcolm. That was fascinating. Absolutely brilliant. That's Malcolm Newman, who's founder and managing director of Premier Lofts, who are based in London.
The A to Z of property with Martin Roberts on Talk Radio, in association with Northwoods Guaranteed Rent.